thank you for this day. Thank you for the weather. You know, your understanding. I can't understand why it's snowing right now, Lord, and it's springtime, but your will be done, Lord. As we always want your will to be done. We want to know you and follow you. And we pray for those who are not here today, Lord, who traveling mercies as the roads might be a little slick. And we pray that we could hear from you today to extend our walk, to have us walk closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Is it recording?
I think you're good, yeah.
Okay. So we're going to start off in 2 Timothy chapter 1, 13 and 14. As you remember from last week, if you remember, Paul's still in prison. He's still waiting for his execution. He pretty much has this figured out that he's not going to be released, and it's looking like he will be executed. So he's writing Timothy one last time just to encourage him and to help him along his walk. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, 13 and 14. Jesse, can you read that? So hold fast the pattern of sound words. Paul is talking about the truth, which is God's word. You know, the correct pattern, not a jumbled up mess of sound words, not rearranged by man to benefit themselves, kind of like a puzzle piece. How a puzzle piece, if you can't figure out, oh, it looks like it fits here, but it doesn't quite. You can't smash it in. You know, puzzles fit perfectly. You know, hold fast to the perfect, non-changing word of God. Because if we don't hold on to it, if we don't hold on to that truth, the truth will slip through our fingers. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Lily, can you read that? Tossed to and fro.
And carried about with every wind and
doctrine
by the trickery of men, the cunning craftiness of deceitful
plotting. So what he's talking about is kids, you know, unknowingly, they're tossed one way or another by, you know, somebody who is tricky or has a very elegant speech. We first need to know the truth in order to hold on to it. But if we stand on the truth, it is hard to remove us from that. This goes along with the saying, if you don't use it, you lose it. Anybody's ever heard that saying before? Our terminology? Yes? No? And what do you think it means? What does it mean to you? No, exactly. You know, I mean, our memories. Now, this story comes with a warning label. And that I have to mention that there are certain things that I did when I was a kid I do not recommend. And this was done by kids what were not thinking clearly. So do not try this at home. But there's this game called Stretch. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. Don't ever play it. But what you do is you take a knife. If you do not have a knife, you can replace this with a screwdriver, right? In which we did. We didn't have a knife, so we used a large screwdriver. But what you do is you stand apart from each other, and you throw the object near the feet. And if it sticks, that person has to stretch to that location. Now, obviously, you can't throw it halfway across the yard because then the game would be over really quick. So it has to be within, you know, you can't go so far, but you have to stretch, and then the first one falls, loses, right? So me and my friend were playing, and I lost track of the screwdriver. I don't know. I was dazing. I didn't see where it went. I'm looking around. Where'd it go? Where'd it go? Then I looked down at my knee. I found it. I found it. And it was the craziest feeling because I did not feel it go in until I looked down, and then it hurt so bad. You know, screaming like a baby. My friend's mom, or well, my friend's grandma actually put Band-Aids on it and then took me home, right? So I went home. And then the next day, I remember lying on the couch in the living room complaining about my knee. Oh, it hurts. I can't get up and all this. And my mom, so ever gently, comes over and says, you know, if you don't use your knee, it's going to get stuck that way forever. So that scared me. That literally, it scared me. I didn't want to use my knee. But it scared me so much, I got up in thinking that it was going to be horrible, this horrible pain inside of me. But it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. I used my knee, and it was like, okay, I overreacted. Sometimes in our head, holding on to God's word, or telling others about God's word, we feel like it's going to be this huge, painful deal. Paul is telling Timothy, it doesn't matter. It might be a huge, painful ordeal. It just might. Still, we need to hold fast. Because if we don't hold on, we could lose it. You know, we can lose that hold. We could lose whatever we're trying to hold on to because, you know, denial or putting off things creeps in. And then we slowly compromise and then forget about the truth. Hold on to the truth. The next, we need to know how to hold on to it. It says, Paul says, in faith. The Pharisees knew the truth, and they followed the truth. Well, the truth that kept them in power, the truth that made them look good, those are the truths they kept. You know, the Pharisees knew about the Messiah, knew that he was coming. Yet they didn't have faith that Jesus was the Messiah. Knowing the truth and having faith in the truth, those two can be very different things. Faith is, there may be times where we can't see the whole picture, or we don't really understand why or what is going on, yet we still believe. That is faith. Because God's understanding is not our understanding. You know, and out of those two, trust in God's understanding. That's the one to be trusted. So hold on to truth in faith. Next, we need to add love. We need love. We need love in Him. We need to love others. Love fulfills the law. The Pharisees would use the truth to prove that they were right and others were wrong. They were without love. You know, we don't tell people the truth to make us seem superior or to feel superior over them, but it should be for instructions out of love. You know, we want the best for others, and we want to lift them up, to encourage them, to give them joy, to give them hope. Hold on the truth in faith and in love. Sounds easy, right? Sounds easy. Let's just do that. That's the right what we should do. The only problem is we're human. And Paul knows that because he's human. We fail. So Jesus has a solution for this one. Allow the Holy Spirit to dwell in you. Give him a voice. And actually listen to that voice. And let him help him, help you. He is willing, and next we need to just decide, are we willing to let him help us? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. And I have a cheat sheet, so I might go ahead and do this, because there's some hard names. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phrygilus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy. Oh, I'm sorry. I kept reading. Phrygilus and Hermogenes, right? We don't know much about these two guys, except for they have really hard names, and nobody names their kids that anymore. But it seems like they worked with Paul, and then somewhere along the lines, they turned away from him. So we have to kind of, when we're reading the Bible, we're trying to like, oh, okay, what is this in there for? So why did Paul write down these names? Timothy must have known these guys, or at least known of them. Maybe Paul is telling Timothy not to trust them. Or perhaps he's telling him they need help. They need to learn more. They need to be lifted up, to be encouraged, to come back and be stronger. Now, the first half of chapter 1 is talking about not being ashamed of Jesus and not being ashamed of his workers. To add into the fact that around this time, Christians were being persecuted heavily, meaning all the time. And here's Paul, he's in prison, he's waiting execution. And then there's the government, the Roman government. You know, they did not feel like it was their place to feed or clothe prisoners. So that responsibility went on to family and friends. So if you didn't have any family and friends there, you didn't eat. Or if it became wintertime, you didn't get that extra jacket or scarf. So knowing that you needed to rely on friends to bring, you know, food, water, TV, Netflix account, you know, things that you really need, you would have to do without. Now, knowing that the people that came to see Paul, you would have to think, you know, those guards would be like, I wonder if this guy is one of those Christians. You know, and it could be coming up. It would seem that Hermogenes and Phrygilus. Yeah. That's how they pronounced it on the internet. I don't know. That they didn't turn away from Paul because of a difference in doctrine. This wasn't about believing in a different Jesus or believing in worshiping Jesus a different way. It seems like this was more about fear. That these two might have been afraid to wind up in the cell next to Paul. You know, they did not hold fast. They were not strong. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16 through 18. Michelle? Oh, one seer for us, one seer us.
For he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. 1:18. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me. At Ephesus.
Ephesus. So one of Sepphoris. Now here's the good guy, but still we don't name our kids that. I don't know anybody named one of Sepphoris growing up. But he was not ashamed. He wasn't scared of people knowing that Paul was a friend. As soon as he got to Rome, you know, again, Rome, where they did not like Christians, he asked and searched for Paul. You know, this could be dangerous because they would have to know, well, he's probably a Christian. But it wasn't just at Rome. It wasn't just because Paul was in prison. It's not just because Paul might be dying soon or being executed soon. Because when Paul was back in Ephesus, one of Sepphoris was still that guy. He was still that guy. His name means help bringer. He's refreshing to others, right? As if he was bringing a nice cup of cold water on a warm day. You can't get enough of them. It's like, that's so refreshing. We too should be refreshing our refreshment towards others. Now, there was a time in Jesus' earthly ministry where he was traveling through Samaria. Now, at that time, the Jews and the Samaritans did not see eye to eye. And it wasn't because of height difference. It was that they had a difference of opinion. And because of that, they typically did not like each other. They typically did not talk to each other, did not do business together. And there, Jesus sat near a well. John chapter 4, 6 through 10. Yeah. Stephen, you want to tackle that?
Now, Jacob was there, Jesus, therefore, being weary from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask to drink from me, a
Samaritan?"
Says to you,
So at first, you know, this woman at the well isn't quite getting that Jesus is not talking about the physical realm where you need to drink water to live. But he's talking about a spiritual realm where the soul thirsts for truth and hope. You know, but that's, you know, Jesus drew her in to this conversation because it's like, well, you shouldn't even be talking to me. You know, this shouldn't be happening because you're Jewish and I'm Samaritan. It's like, why are you asking me for this? So he kind of drew her in, and then he started talking about this living water. He's not talking about microbes or anything. He's talking about the Word of God. John 4, 11 through 14. Jesse?
The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life."
Jesus is always that perfect example. You know, being that refreshment to all, to any, at any time. You know, that truth that Jesus is talking about, because he's talking about the Word of God, about the true Word of God, that's the water he's talking about. That living water, what goes inside of you and sustains us, brings hope. You know, that fountain is a foundation that you could stand on, and it will not crumble. You know, the truth will not crumble. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 1 and 2. Little Lee? So walking in love and having grace goes hand in hand. You know, one should have the other. Like building up Virgilius and Hermogenes back, you know, building them back to where they need to be, to lift them up so that they can be stronger in their walk with the Lord. You know, the way the gospel is spread is being that good witness to others, maybe to those who don't get it right away, but that's where we witness, is to bring people up, to make them the faithful men and women. And then they witness to others, and then so on and so on and so on. Teaching the truth wherever we are and to whoever we're with. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. I guess we'll go in order, and it's me. You therefore must endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaging in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of his life, that you may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Again, this is easier said than done. You know, the Bible never hides the fact that we will need to endure hardships. And if you ever find yourself in a church what teaches only rainbows and unicorns and sprinkles and ice cream parties, it's probably a good time to look for a different church, because they're not in the Bible, because it tells us we are going to endure hardships. A true soldier moves mountains or dies trying. You know, they don't worry about little life problems, because that's not the scope of the warfare. You know, it doesn't matter that nobody liked the picture I just posted, even though it could be hurtful, but that doesn't matter when I'm trying to move a mountain, right? A soldier follows the order of the one who enlisted him. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, Michelle.
And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules.
So anybody's ever ran a race, right? If we're running a race, and then all of a sudden you notice nobody's looking, and then you cut across the track and you win that race, you didn't actually win that race, you cheated. Right? You didn't really win. You cheated. You broke the rules. And you might have glory for a moment, but it won't last. That glory will not last. We need to follow the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 6 and 7. Stephen?
A hardworking farmer must be the first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things.
So before we enjoy the fruits of our labor, you need to put in the labor. Right? Before we could see the fruits, or benefit from them, we need to do the labor. We need to do the hard work. Keep the faith, trusting in God's understandings, praying that the Lord will help us along the way with that understanding so that we could know more. Now, next weekend is Resurrection Sunday, our Easter, our Pascha, however you want to say it. You know, there are distractions with this holiday, and people might not know the whole truth. However, both believers and non-believers know that weekend has something to do about Jesus. You know, there's reasons. It's because Christmas and Easter are the times that people, if they don't normally go to church, they will go to church. You know, that's a perfect time to hold fast to the truth in faith and love and be that refreshment towards others. John 4, 35. Jesse?
Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest.
So Jesus is not talking about wheat. He's not talking about, oh, it's harvest time 4 months from now. He's talking about it's harvest time right now. And he's talking about going and being that witness to others right now. Michelle, can you close us in prayer?